Welcome to the Gathering Podcast, a ministry of First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville, Arkansas. My name is Ken Weatherford, the Director of Worship Arts here at the church, and as always, it's great to be with you. We hope you enjoy this week's episode of our weekly sermon podcast and ask that you would do us a favor and please share this with your friends and family on Facebook or Twitter. You can find us at www.fumcbentonville.org or by searching FUMC Gathering Podcast on iTunes.
Our scripture today is from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel!" And Samuel said, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So Samuel went and he lied down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli, and he said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and he went to Eli, and he said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if God calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears tingle." This is the gift of Scripture for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Contemplative prayer is a way of praying without ceasing. It is a way of praying and listening. Contemplative prayer is something that isn't just what we do in our secret place or in the place in our room that Jesus tells us to go to pray. No, it is something that carries forth with us all day. We begin the day in prayer, and that prayer goes with us throughout the day in all different kinds of ways. Brenda and I first moved here. We were part of a church in Rogers, a church that had expanded, and they'd built a second building. And in that building, we were having a meeting, an off-site meeting. It was a week-long meeting with the church staff and with the church council. I was on the council, and 39 years old, and pretty much knew it all. Had a very successful career. Was living the American dream. And in this conversation, we brought in church consultant Mike Breen and Steve Cochran, and they were taking us through a week-long seminar. And we had just spent the morning working on spiritual gifts, and it had been really rewarding dividing the groups amongst our spiritual gifts and then amongst our personality types. And all of the extroverts were in one room, and we answered a series of questions, and the introverts were in another room. And everybody comes back, and you see how completely different the groups see the same exact question. And as we're going through that, then we come back to a large table, and there's 20 of us or so in this room. And I hadn't noticed, but Mike Breen, who runs this company, he's a man who prays without ceasing. I had no idea what that even meant at the time. I can just only imagine what that might mean. And he leans over to me and he says, "2 Corinthians 12. And I looked at him and he had his eyes closed, and he looks up and his eyes open. He says, "Yeah, 2 Corinthians 12. God is telling me that's going to be very important for you." I said, "Thanks, Mike." appreciate that. I had no idea what 2 Corinthians 12 was. So later, when I opened up a Bible and flipped to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I was thinking it would have really been nice if someone were to say to me, Eric, I have a word of God for you, and it's knock and the door will be opened. Seek and you will be heard. You know, something hopeful. Seek and you will find. I want to find God. I want to promise. But no, no, what the word of God to me from Mike Breen was Paul lamenting on this incredible weakness he has and asking God to take this weakness from him over and over and over again. And finally, God says, Paul, when you are weak, then you are strong. My grace is sufficient for you. And then Paul writes to the Corinthians, so I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that I might experience the power of Christ. And when I experience weaknesses and persecutions and insults and hardships, I will gladly thank God, because in those, I know I will be experiencing the power of God. 39 years old, and I'm believing the American myth that power and strength is the means to success. I didn't want to hear those words. But over the last 10 years, I have come to realize that those are the words of life. In fact, there's all kinds of people that talk about truth. Christian groups will say, I know the truth. I'd like to propose to you that the truth, the one Christian truth that we could all probably agree on, is that what Jesus says, humble yourself, he means it. And that the only way to God is through humility. And in 10 years, I've been working on what it means to pray without ceasing. And that prayer eventually starts to bring us to places where we start to experience what the young lady in the video is telling us. Places where there is no fear. Places where we don't have to scream and yell. And there were years where I thought I'd lose my voice. Those of you who have teenagers might understand. And you know what it accomplished? Absolutely nothing. Eventually we get to the point where we realize there is no amount of screaming at our children that will make them do anything. And children, screaming at your parents, same exact thing. You can scream all you want, but it won't make anybody do anything. If you run a company and you manage that way by intimidation and fear, good luck keeping your employees. You might make the numbers on a quarter-by-quarter basis, but you're going to have a really hard time getting and keeping really high-quality people. What I've learned in prayer without ceasing is that prayer washes through us all day. And it changes the way we believe, it changes the way we live, it changes the way we treat people. Now what I try to do, and it's not easy, prayer without ceasing begins in the morning as soon as I get up. And it's a prayer that continues throughout the day in various ways, shapes, and forms. It isn't one little prayer. But one of the prayers that I try to do throughout the day is every person I see, I'm mentally blessing them. I'm praying for them quietly while I'm talking to them. I bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. When I'm talking to you, if you meet me anywhere, that's what I'm doing. I'm praying. Another way of prayer, I start the day with Lectio Divina. It's a meditative prayer on Scripture. So the Scripture we have for today, I'll take a short piece of Scripture, 10 verses or so at the most, and spend 10 minutes on it, quietly reading it. Any thoughts that come in, I try to push them aside. And as I read, there's always connections. Ideas bubble up to the surface. Now, the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord. Interesting, Ryan grabs me this morning and said, Dad, I was looking at the Scripture for today. What does it mean Samuel was ministering to the Lord? Interesting question. There's something there that catches my attention. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. People could not see God, even though God was all around them. God has always been all around us, but the people couldn't see God. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim, so he could not see. There's a second statement about vision here. The lamp of God had not yet gone out yet. He can't see, even though the lamp of God is glowing right there. He can't see it. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of the God, was. Eli, who is the head priest, sleeping next to the ark of God, and he can't see God. And you know that God calls Samuel, and Samuel's confused, and he keeps going to Eli, and Eli, who cannot hear God, who is right there, finally starts to dawn on him that something might be going on here. And now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. That ought to make all of us take pause. All of us who are Christians and have been Christians for 10 years, 20 years, 40 years, all of us who have spent a lot of time in the temple next to the ark and think that we know God pretty well, maybe we ought to take pause and wonder if we can really see. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli, and he said, "Here I am, for you called me." Now, Eli still can't see or hear God, but he perceives. He can logically understand that something is going on here, so he says, "This might be God. Samuel, if you hear that word, that voice again, say, 'Lord, here I am.'" And sure enough, it happens. And now, this is interesting. The Lord came and stood there. And Samuel can't see him. And Eli can't see him. But at least Eli and Samuel can hear him. And this time, God speaks. And what does he say? See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hear tingle. How are we developing our relationship with God so that we can see? How are we developing our relationship with God so that we can hear? I suppose the only way we can do that is prayer without ceasing. Another way to pray without ceasing in our house is Brenda found a devotional. It really isn't designed necessarily as a devotional. It's just a beautiful piece of art for every day of the year, but we've turned it into a devotional. So open to the day, and this day was towards the end of January. Ships in the Road is the painting in the 17th century by Willem Vandeveld. So what I do is I will meditate on that picture. Ryan, take it back a step. I meditate on that picture, trying to learn how to see. God, what do you want me to see? Now, the book comes with a piece of poetry, but I cover the poetry up, and I just stare at the picture, learning how to see. And I see a calm, still day. Ships in the harbor, yes, but interesting, those are battleships at anchor in a harbor. On a calm day, there's not even a ripple on the water. Maybe there's something that God wants me to see about peace and stillness. And I look at the poem that comes up from Thomas Moore. How calm, how beautiful come the stilly hour when storms are gone, when warring winds have died away, and clouds beneath the glancing ray melt off and leave the land and sea sleeping in bright tranquility. That's a word of God that I take with me through the day. Anything that tries to move me to anger, I try to let those warring winds go. Another example, a couple of days later, A Polar Bear Hunting in the Moonlight by Alexander Borisov, painted this in 1899. I know from the title that this is in the moonlight. It's at night. And the more I look at it, the more I see details that I hadn't seen before. The snow blowing off the drifts in the back. It's a windy night. It's cold and the polar bear is leaning forward, maybe leaning into the wind, maybe trying to catch a whiff of a seal. I don't know, but it's also a place of solitude. The only thing moving, the only thing living is the bear, a place of deep solitude. And maybe that's the word God wants me to take today, solitude. And the prayer that comes with that by John Milton is, solitude sometimes is the best society, and short retirement urges sweet returns. So I write those words down, and I put them in my pocket, or I write the words down from the scripture meditation and put those in my pocket, and then I put on a rubber band. Lord, what do you want to do through me? And I keep this rubber band on, and all throughout the day, I remember the word I have in my pocket, the word that God gave me. I remember to pray for the people I see. I remember to take time to listen. So at lunch every day, I try to take a few moments, 10 minutes of just silence and just listen. Being at peace, saying, God, I give this 10 minutes to you. And try to keep the ideas and the thoughts and all of the worries that come at bay. There are many, many ways to pray throughout the day. And I hope that you will wear this band. This last Friday, I went down to Central United Methodist, and Jeff Brown and I, Jeff is our business administrator here, we were working with them to learn better ways to do business here. And their business administrator said, Eric, what's that blue band? So we got to have a conversation about what we're doing. And he said, oh, here's mine. And he has one on as well. Different idea, but it's his prayer reminder. I hope that you will also keep this prayer reminder with you, asking God throughout the day, praying without ceasing, Lord, what do you want to do through me? Amen.
Thanks again for joining us on the Gathering Podcast. If you're in the Northwest Arkansas area, come and join us for worship at First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville. We have services at 8:30, 8:45, 9:45, and 11 o'clock each Sunday morning. Grace and peace, y'all.